right. Welcome, everybody, to Pat's Forum here on June 2nd, 2014. Got a very exciting program today. This is actually an extra forum for the month. We'll be doing another one, as usual, the third week. But I have a guest today, Dr. Marilee Adams, who Marilee and I have been friends and colleagues for, 14 years, I guess, huh? Or so 16 years. 16, yeah. When 1999, I think you took one of our early classes with the Institute for Life Coach Training. When in those days, we just had, I think, the one main class. And then as it grew, we created the entire ICF-approved and BTC-approved program. And Marilee was excited about the transition from therapy to coaching, as I was back then, and had written a book called The Art of the Question. Since then, she's written some, may I say nicely, more user-friendly books that we all like these days, as opposed to the deep clinical book, right? Terrific books, Change Your Questions, Change Your Life. And the latest one is Teaching That Changes Lives, 12 Mindset Tools for Igniting the Love of Learning. The exciting thing about this, and Marilee can tell you more about her background that she wants to say that's relevant to today, but the exciting thing is we all know, those of us in the field of coaching or moving into the field of coaching, that the process of inquiry and purposeful questioning is a big, big part of our competency. It's what makes it so unique. And we actually get paid for being curious and asking questions that we don't know the answer to. What Marilee will introduce to you as learner questions. And those of you on the call, if right now you want to go to the inquiry, I'm sorry, in not the, just inquiryinstitute.com, inquiryinstitute.com, you can begin to look at the choice map that we're going to talk a lot about today. And Marilee, you may tell them, do they just click on the home page? Is there a choice map they can look at, or is there a certain location for that?
Well, that's a good question. It'll either be on, I think, the right, or it might be under resources.
Yeah, let me look. I've got it pulled up here. So, yeah, if you go to the main homepage and go to approach, under approach, you'll see choice map. And then you can click on that picture of the choice map, and it'll get bigger. So that'll help you visualize what Marilee's talking about. But Marilee has just offered something that she now teaches all over the world. And so the exciting news that we have is she's going to tell you a little bit more about her background, but also we're going to talk about an upcoming class that's coming up in June and July for you learning this very powerful and deceptively simple technique you can use with your clients. So Marilee, what else would you like them to know about you, how you got to here and how you created what you created?
Okay. You gave my background. I mean, I've transitioned from being a therapist for 25 years into being a coach and consultant and coach trainer and speaker. And the methodologies that I've developed, as you said, they're in all three books. They have really stood the test of time in ways that are very gratifying to me. And I've now given programs for coaches and in general all over the world. In fact, I was in Asia last November for a month. Mm. And a lot of the people who came to the courses were coaches. So, and I've also done this work in large organizations. Say, I'm thinking right now of Lockheed Martin, where we worked with about 500 coaches there, or HR people, teaching them coaching skills as executive coaches. And people come to our public workshops and our webinars and teleseminars who are coaches and want to use this work both with their coachees, individual, but also with teams and with leaders in an executive coaching way. And so what excites me about all this is that I really believe that inquiry, in a way, holds the keys to the kingdom, and that coaching is the profession that more than any really, really has a reverence for inquiry and also the understanding of how practical and potent it can be. So it's...
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I didn't mean to step on you there. You were going to say something else.
Well, that's one of the reasons I love working with coaches and why I love coaching, because, I mean, we know that that inquiry is the medium through which communication and relationships and results occur, and the more expert that we can get with inquiry, the more that we can serve our coachees and ourselves, actually, in becoming more satisfied and more successful. So to have a methodology that's also practical to be able to do that in a predictable way is, I think it's one of the most important things anybody can learn.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I got to tell you, and you know this, I've said this to you, even having been a coach since 1990, so that's 25 years almost for me, come across lots of different tools, lots of things you use, lots of different helpful hints to keep your coaching fresh. This is the best thing that I got reacquainted with recently. And I find myself using a lot with my adult clients. I'm using the choice map and some of the other material and the training I do with high school age kids that are coming back for career coaching and GED accomplishment, et cetera. So I want everybody to just listen up today and learn about this choice map and some of her Q thinking and upcoming class. So why don't you start describing what is this choice map and what's going to be offered in this class that we have coming up in June?
Sure. The let me set that up a little bit first.
Yeah, please.
And thank you, Patrick, for your comments about that. And I think actually it's useful for people to know that you came to a 2-day course with me.
Yes.
And so you were able to get really deeply into the material in a dynamic and experiential way. And I think that's so important because we can learn concepts, and certainly all coaches are taught that questions and questioning is vital. But there's a big difference between knowing about something and developing the skill and the comfort and the ease of using it.
Well said.
So, as a matter of fact, we should say about questions that everybody asks questions, but few people know how to use questions in ways that are strategic and graceful and successful. And I think that really is the core competence and skill of coaches. So let me say a little bit about questioning before we get into the choice map. That most of the time, and for very understandable reasons, when we think about questioning, we think about the questions that we ask each other, external, interpersonal questions. And, of course, that's very natural because that's what we hear and what we do and have done all of our lives. It turns out, I believe, that there's a very profoundly important world of internal questioning, which I call question thinking, and that when people can grab hold of understanding question thinking, the way that they ask questions can transform dramatically. And so the work that I do begins with question thinking and then kind of moves pretty easily into question asking. And obviously both are really, really critical. That many of the methods that teach about question asking, they're only the external questioning. And by putting in the piece about the internal questioning, I believe it's a much richer and more dimensional and much more filled with possibilities for ourselves as coaches and also for our coachees. So that excites me a lot because it turns out that it's not hard to demonstrate this to people, and while the material is deceptively simple, it's also something that's graspable and that people can begin using pretty quickly. Now, expertise with that, of course, is a different issue because that requires practice and reflection and practice again. But that's what we're going to be doing for the rest of our lives anyway, as people who are continual learners. So I want to start with the internal questions and simply demonstrate this to everybody, or have you demonstrate it to yourself, so that you can begin to have a sense of that whole landscape. And so even though I'm going to ask some questions or do something I do in person with people, and usually I can see them when I say this, but I'm going to imagine this. And what I imagine what I imagine is every one of you is dressed right now and dressed in some way that's comfortable and appropriate for you. Now, you might wonder why I said that and what it has to do with the topic under discussion today. Well, here's that when we all got dressed today, we either went to our closet or our drawers or a suitcase or maybe the floor.
Marilyn, let me interrupt just a minute. Could I ask you to talk just a little bit louder or adjust your microphone?
Does this help?
That's really good. Thank you.
Okay, good. Oh, I'm glad you interrupted me. Thank you.
Yes.
That we had to make a decision about what to wear, and so we asked ourselves a series of questions that included, where am I going? What is the weather supposed to be? What's going to be comfortable if we're going out? What are other people wearing? What am I going to be doing later? Even what's clean? And out of that question, that series of questions, we make a very quick internal decision. And the next thing that happens is we are picking up some pieces of clothing and putting them on. So we have been asking ourselves questions, and those questions led to a decision, and that decision led to a behavior, which is picking up a piece of clothing and putting it on. So you could say, in effect, that you're wearing your answer. So we'll come back to that in a moment. Now I'm going to illustrate how internal questions lead to external responses. So let's start with the internal. If I am, say that I'm wearing a fur coat and I notice that I'm shivering, I might say, why am I shivering? That would be a question I'd ask myself. And then I would say, oh, I'm cold. So that would be a thought, a question thought, and then an answer thought. If somebody else asks me a question, why are you wearing a fur coat? Let's say it's inside. I'm going to answer, because I'm cold. So the same answer, I'm cold, could be an answer to an internal question or to a question that somebody else asks. So what I'm demonstrating here is that the questions we ask other people come from the questions that we ask ourselves. And even beyond that, that the questions we ask ourselves lead not only to what we say, but also what we do, to our behavior. Because when I was giving the getting dressed example, that was a behavior. It wasn't something we said. And what I illustrated there is the question-based nature of decision-making and problem-solving. So what I'm really illustrating is that our lives are really given by the questions that we ask, that
the things that we say and the things that we do, in a sense, represent answers to questions. Now, most of the time that people are teaching about question asking, first of all, the focus is only an external one, the questions that we ask each other. And obviously that's really important. And we're expanding that to include the questions that we ask ourselves. What is typically not focused on in question training is the question asker. So in other words, you can read things, and there's some very good things out there about the structure of questions, about how to design them, but they're all about the question. And what I like to focus on first is the question asker. Because you could have the best question in the world and ask it from a place that is, let's say it's judgmental, and the question will not do the job that you were hoping for it to do. So even though, now I'm going to say something that's going to sound a little contradictory because we're talking about the power and the potence of questions, I'm going to say that our mindsets, that mindset trumps questions in a way. Because if we're in a productive mindset, then the questions we ask are going to be productive and positive and forward-focused. And if we're in a negative mindset, the questions that we ask are going to be negative and also limited. So, Patrick, before I go into more detail about that, would you add something here about your experience of the different kinds of questions? Then I'll talk about the mindset work, and then we'll apply that to the choice map.
The different kinds, like judge or learner, you mean? Or?
Yeah, uh-huh. Because that was one of the main things that you experienced in the workshop and that I believe you found useful.
Yes. It was a good reminder for me, but those of you who are able to pull up the choice map, again, if you go to inquiryinstitute.com, click on the sources, and you'll find that choice map, which you can then click on and enlarge on your screen. This nice little map that Merrily created over, 14, 15 years ago or something,
right.
Which you can also use on a very useful laminated card. You can even download it from her website. The two kinds of questions that we, given that she said we continually ask ourselves questions even though we're not aware of it. So there's a lot of these internal questions, what should I wear? Should I get up and do this now? Am I hungry now? What, you know, things that go on unconsciously. But the ones that we're most cognizant of are the ones that show up in circumstances that are pertinent, relevant, sometimes challenges, sometimes relational. So as an example, let's say somebody's at work, and they leave a staff meeting and they say, why is that person such a jerk? So there's a question, and you can probably guess that's not a learner question, that's a judger question. There's judgment in there. Or why don't I get this? I seem so stupid. What is wrong with me? Those kind of questions are what lead you into the judger pit. And if you see the choice map, you see it there in the bottom when you get in the mud pit. The goal of coaching, as you all know, is to increase awareness and to gradually get our clients to learn to respond to life more than react to life. Those are some major goals. So to do that, we have to figure out triggers, find out when we're maybe heading to this judger pit, and Merrily has created a switching lane. So the switching lane is when you begin to ask learner questions like, what assumptions am I making? How could I view this differently? What's a different way I could view this person? What can I learn from this situation? So those are learner questions. And the kind of questions we ask as coaches that we teach you as being powerful and evocative questions are almost always, I would say, learner questions. Because even we don't know the answer to them. We're asking a question that's exploratory, that's evocative, that's curious, that's learner. And if you catch yourself as a coach asking things like, well, why did you do that? That might lead down the judger path.
So let's take, thank you, Patrick. Let's give each of you an experience of the two mindsets, and let me say something about the mindsets, and then we'll take the choice map conversation a little bit deeper. So the first point is that we all have two mindsets, and that they're interactive, they're dynamic, and we will always have these two different mindsets. So it's not like you could get rid of one. You can only learn how to observe and manage and choose your mindset. So I'm going to, when we were earlier talking about the importance of the questions we ask ourselves, it's also true that those questions we ask ourselves are expressions of our mindsets, and our mindsets are expressions of the questions we ask ourselves. Because it's easier to grab onto a question than a mindset, I'm going to list out two sets of questions so that each of you can listen to them as if you were asking them of yourself and notice the impact of those questions. And that would be the impact on how you're thinking, how you're feeling, on your body posture, on your mood, and then we'll take it from there. So if you would just sit in a comfortable position and your eyes either open or closed, and listen to each set of questions as if you were asking them of yourself. So the first set of questions, what's wrong with me? Why do I always have such bad luck? How come I got stuck with, it could be this boss, this colleague, this in-law, this upset child? Other judger questions would be, why is everybody around me so stupid and clueless? Haven't we already been there, done that? Why bother? Now, if you will notice, some of you have been holding your breath while I read those questions to you or recited them, and that's very typical. When people listen to judger questions, wherever they come from, they tend to hold their breath. And some of the states that when I ask people, what did you experience when I recited those questions, they'll say things like, I got kind of, I lost energy, I lost hopefulness, I was actually feeling pretty depressed. I've actually had people get a headache listening to those questions. And some people will say my posture kind of stooped over. And basically, those questions had a negative impact on their moods and also their sense of confidence and also their desire to be with other people. So, Patrick, there's a question. Can we have people say anything, or?
Yes, I think if somebody has a comment, you can just unmute yourself by pushing *6. And if there's noise on the line, we may just ask you to remute yourself. But if you want to ask a question or make a comment about what Marilee just did, just unmute your phone and state your statement.
So the question would be, when I recited the judger mindset questions, what was your experience?
Right. So who could respond to that? You can push *6 and...
I'm going to go ahead and recite the learner mindset questions and then see if anybody wants to comment on the contrast.
Okay, very good.
So so now kind of take a good deep breath and release it. And listen to a different set of questions. So those questions would be, what do I want for myself and others and the situation? What happened? What can I learn from this, or what's valuable? What does the other person think, want, or think or want? What are some of the best steps to go forward, and what's possible? And what people typically say when they listen to the learner questions is that they feel more hopeful, that they feel expansive, that they feel future-oriented, that their mood has shifted in a positive direction, that they are thinking more about others and not just about themselves. So if there's anybody who wants to comment on the experience of the two mindsets, we'll take that comment. Otherwise, I'm just going to go on and talk more about the choice map and about questioning.
Okay, good. So if anybody now wants to comment on their experience of just experiencing either list, we'd love to hear your feedback. If you do, push star 6 and speak.
Hi, this is Juanita from Denver. The sense I got from the judge of questions is a sense of hopelessness and kind of a lack of ability to come up with a plan because it puts the answers outside of ourselves while the other mindset, as you said, gives us hope, but it also empowers us. And so it gives us the ability to make changes, and it kind of acknowledges our ability to do that.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Actually, Patrick, I think that was a very good summary.
Yeah,
and
it was.
I mean, really.
Yeah,
and what's
that.
Really important about this, if you take that further, is you'll notice that when we're in learner mindset, we actually ask many more questions, and they are productive. And the questions in judger mindset, in a way, are not questions. They are conclusions or beliefs with a question mark at the end. So coaching happens as much as possible in learner mindset, and the ability of the coach to keep themselves in learner mindset and to help their coachee switch to judger, to learner mindset becomes part of the essence of coaching.
Right.
So, of course, it makes sense that when people come to us for coaching, they are typically much more in judger mindset than they are in learner. And they want something in a way that says, gee, I wasn't able to do this before. And they may have all kinds of negative opinions about themselves or their competence. And so it's very useful for a coach to be able to notice which mindset their coachees are in, and then work with them to become more resident in learner mindset. And many coaches use the choice map as a tool to, they actually give it to their coachees. And then there's particularly if it's someone that you're coaching on the phone, then you're both looking at the same model, and whatever situation or goal you're talking about, you can practically trace it out on the choice map, and then it gives the coach a lot of natural and obvious questions to be asking their coachee. So one of the things that I think is most important is that the coach learns how to explicitly manage their own mindsets using these kinds of tools and terms. Now, of course, that's what coaches do, and coaches are much more naturally in learner than they are in judger. But because we all have both mindsets and always will, there are numerous opportunities in life to fall into judger. And the better that we get at moving ourselves from judger to learner, the more that we'll be able to do that with our coachees. That's where the switching lane comes in. And it really is the such a critical part of the power of the choice map, because once we're able to see where we are, then we have a choice about whether we want to be there or not. And so switching questions are the route for getting there. And for those of you who are familiar with the term emotional intelligence, and that's probably all of you or most of you, then you can see that of the four different pillars of emotional intelligence, the first is awareness, the second is self-observation or self-management, the third is awareness of others, and the fourth is social skills. So when we can become very aware of our own judger in a non-judgmental way, that's the kicker, that's the important part, that kind of releases us to be able to say, where would I rather be? And then we can ask switching questions, and switching questions represent self-regulation and self-management. But you'll notice by contrast that on the choice map, the first judger question is, whose fault is it? And that's a question that pretty naturally just keeps one going into the judger pit, because then you're into a problem frame rather than a solution frame. And the question kind of determines what you're able to see and what you're able to do and what you're able to feel. So the more facile that coaches become in working their own mindsets, the more that they'll be able to see how to facilitate that in their coachees as well. Because obviously the point of coaching is not just to deal with whatever people come for, the goals that they come for. It's also to give them some skills that they'll be able to use after coaching. And the mindset work gives them those skills, or many skills, that they'll be able to use for themselves both professionally and personally long after coaching is complete. Now, I'm sure that you all could tell that I could go on and on about this, because I love this work because I've seen it work with thousands and thousands of people, both in this country and also abroad. And it excites me that coaches can use this to make a difference with their coachees. So, Pat, unless you think there's something you want to add, I would love to hear some questions from people.
Yeah, let's see if there's any questions, and then let's do in the time remaining. We also want to talk about the upcoming class and kind of go over what that's going to cover. But
exactly.
Has anybody got a question that's hot on their mind now that they'd like to ask? I will tell you, I've got one here that David Boyce sent in that I think is a very thorough and good question. Oh, does somebody have a question here live? I think that was a hang-up. Okay. So David writes, with so much concern that we're not getting the results at work, the current emphasis is on improving our ability to coach, which in turn is believed to improve our culture. After reading both the teaching book and the Change Your Questions book, I feel confident that both will be improved only when we can ask the right questions and listen with learner ears. Mm. The criticism I've received, in parentheses, he writes, judger, is that they want hard skills. Could we include a discussion on how to first get attention, demonstrate application, and the pathway to incorporating the learner process?
Oh, that's great. We could talk about that one for hours. Thank you. let me give you some things to say when people say, oh, geez, those are just soft skills. which is, by the way, one of the more annoying terms that I know. So what I'll say is soft skills, are you referring to the success skills? Because everybody knows that, I mean, everybody like in our world knows that it's the ability to relate to people and connect and communicate with them that at the end of the day is going to most affect their results. And another thing I'll say is soft skills equal hard cash. And I really believe it's true. One of the things that what would be helpful to some of you, and I believe it's on the website, is that there was a write-up in the Wharton Business School newsletter a few years ago specifically about this work. And there is a case example in there of a company, Flextronics, which is it's a huge company, 200,000 people. And they sent someone to our Chief Question Officer course, and which is people who study really deeply with us and then go back to their organizations. And the woman who came, Carmela, took this work back to her organization and applied it in a particular business unit of 700 people. And in that business unit, they were one of, I believe at the time, 14, and they were dead last in terms of all of their metrics. And they started using this material, the choice map and the learner-judger material, and one of the exercises that I've designed, Q-storming, and within 3 months, they were number one. Now, that's important for people in business who need, understandably, to know that things are going to have a measurable difference. And then another example I'll give is a team that I'm working with at the Department of Treasury. And most of the people in this team have gone through our courses. And they currently have a 95% engagement rate, which is at least 20 points higher than the rest of the people in that agency, some of which are actually much lower. And so data like that supports the importance of doing this. The last chapter of Change Your Questions, Change Your Life is called The Inquiring Leader. And I use this work in a lot of talks on inquiring leadership that I've done at major companies and at Harvard and at other colleges and universities and government agencies. And it really comes down to an inquiring leader is an engaging leader. If you want productive results with a team or with people in a company, the more that they stay in learner, the more productive and successful they will be. And so let me say a quick word about teams, because you can also look at the choice map in terms of teams, even though it's drawn as an individual. And so you could have a learner team and a judger team, and the way that they behave and the results they get will be entirely different. So that's a long answer to your question, and I hope that's useful.
Yeah, thank you. Very good. So how about if we talk about the class? I've got it pulled up in front of me, and I'll say a little bit about, just so people know that you have, let's see, I had it pulled up in front of me. Yeah, here it is. So it starts June 23rd through July 28th. It's Mondays from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Eastern Daylight Time, whichever that is, Eastern Time Zone. So for the man in England, that's 5 hours later. For those of you in Colorado, it's 2 hours later than you. And so let's talk about it. It's called Change Your Questions, Change Your Results. What are you going to cover in that class?
Well, think in terms of what we talked about today and then elaborate it greatly. So to learn much more about the mindset work, being able to apply it to yourself, being able to see it and work with your coachees in it, teaching them how to do it, and also fundamentally learning more about questions and how to ask questions in ways that are more productive and generative, and in a way that that becomes more natural and even eventually intuitive for people. So it's, as I said earlier, it's one thing to know about something. It's an entirely different thing to develop the personal skills as well as the interpersonal skills that go with that. So each class will be, there'll be exercises, there'll be conversation, there'll be discussion about homework. There will be homework because it'll be practicing in between. And I'm kind of excited about it. I've done this kind of work with a lot of different coaching schools. And, you know, I really love being able to put it into a virtual format where more people can take advantage of it.
So those of you, is there a limit to the number of people you can have in this class?
I think Ellen and I said about 20 or 25.
Yeah, so this could handle more than we usually do, but it is going to fill up quickly, I think. And, it, you know, we're only 3 weeks away. So this is a very powerful class, and I know that I've already heard from some people that it conflicts with something you have. Given that it's probably going to be successful, as I presume, it will be offered again in next year sometime or later this year. But this is a good, good introduction that you'll walk away with tools you can use right away.
And certainly a lot more tools than the choice map that we discussed today.
Right, yes, right. So does anybody have any questions about that that's on this call now? You can find that class, by the way, if you go to our home site and look under new classes, and it'll show up under change your questions, change your results. They're all done by date. So June 23rd?
Patrick, actually, it's already filling up, even the first day that Ellen announced it.
Wonderful.
I think that, she emailed us and said, oh, my goodness.
Oh, good. Well, that's what I expected. I think this is I don't know why people use that phrase, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, because I don't think sliced bread's that great, but I think this is the greatest thing.
Funny.
I think it's the greatest thing in a long time that adds a tool that you can use to coaching. I've never wanted coaching to become...